We want to say thank you for joining us today as we go to the Bible for the answer to the questions that are on your mind. Thank you for tuning in to Let the Bible Speak. And it's our honor to be able to be in your presence as we go to the Bible for the answers that to the questions that you have that are on your heart. Maybe something happened today in your walk of life or in church services, wherever you've been, and you would like to know what God says about that. What does the Bible say? And thus, we will be glad to take your question. You can have your question written down and brought in to us simply by calling 308-9564. The lines are available, so now's your chance. Those of you that are frequent listeners know that many times at the end of the broadcast, the questions tend to pile up. And so if you want a full discussion of those questions, now is the time to call in your question. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. 308-9564. You can have it written down and brought into us, or you can go live. The only thing we ask is that you give us your name and let us know the subject matter, and we are more than happy to be able to let you go live. Well, one more thing we ask if you want to go live is to be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be a confusing echo. Now, there's another way to communicate with us via text. If you have a cell phone and you want to text us your question, you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, we long to hear from you. We look forward to the questions that are on your mind. So don't miss out on this. Now is the time to call in those questions. We are thrilled to be able to go to the Bible for the questions, and we pray that you will be with us. And one other point, if you have relatives or kin that are outside this broadcast area, you can also let them know about this, and they can tune in via the Internet by going to our website at www.BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com, and they can hit the live stream button, and they can join us through that means. And they can also text us, even if they don't have a text cell phone, they can text us from the website. Down at the bottom of the page, you will see a white box where you can type your question, and it will come directly to us here at the radio station. We're glad to be able to help you, and we pray that you have the answers to your questions from God's Word even this day. So now's your chance, 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. I believe we have our first question.
Yeah, we have a question from Sam, and Sam writes in, called in, a question about Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 31. Proverbs 23:31. Let's read the verse together. It reads, "Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly." Well, there in this verse, you would immediately think that there's, of course, a warning about the kind of wine and what it looks like. Well, as you think about the lust of the eyes and temptation, that things that look good often are not good, but that's the basis of the temptation. When you read a little further, it makes it clear that this is a wine to avoid. And as we read these following verses, I think it'll become more evident what it's warning about. Verse 32 says, "At the last, it bites like a serpent." So it goes down smoothly, looks good to the eyes, but it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your mind will utter perverse things. And you will be like one who lies down the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink." Well, those following passages describe pretty much the response or reaction of someone who's had too much to drink. So the encouragement in this passage is that everything that looks good isn't good. So when you see the wine, when it's red, kind of a pleasing color to the eye, and it sparkles in the cup, the degree of fermentation there, that's something to avoid. And so the lesson here is, again, if it looks too good to be true, it's too good to be true. So thank you, Sam. I appreciate so much your question. Others may be out there. You may be driving in the car, and you may be listening to the program. If you're home and able to text or call, then please do so. That text number is 725-9564.
9265.
9265. Did I get that wrong?
Yes.
925-9283.
There we go.
Man, I've been doing that all day, haven't I? Oh, wow. And then if you want to call, check me on this number. It's 308-9564. 308-9564. And don't forget the Bible Correspondence Course, 553-1517 is that number. 553-15. Did I get that wrong again? 553-5157. You won't believe this, folks. I've been doing that all day. My land.
You've got advanced displacement of numbers.
I sure do.
We're so glad to have all of y'all with us today, and we hope and pray that the information that we're giving you from the Bible is a little bit more reliable than that, and hopefully we are able to let the Bible speak. As we read what God says in His Word, it'll make it very clear. If you want to join us to let your question be made known today, then go ahead and call. That number is 308-9564. Or if you would like to text us, it is 725-9283. We are thrilled to be able to be with you today. Our whole purpose in this program is to get people to find out what God says in His Word rather than what man is saying. I'm amazed, especially in this area of South Carolina, how many different churches have rallied behind a single personality. That person may go by various titles or various authorities, but the truth of the matter is Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. And so we should rally behind or around that authority, Jesus Christ. And when we do, then it will not be based upon His servants, whoever we may be. It will be based upon what God says in His Word. We see the danger associated with following after somebody in the Word, because if that person has got it wrong, then they will be wrong, and we will be headed to the same place that they may be headed. And you might be wondering, where is that? Well, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul himself says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you were taught back then, 2,000 years ago, let them be accursed. So God, not once but twice repeated, he lets us know how important this is. If we come up with anything new that is not contained in God's Word, we will be accursed, anathema. That word accursed is much more severe than the way it sounds in English. It is it's almost like a super curse. If we teach anything different than what the Bible says, then we will be accursed. Whoever accepts it will be accursed. He says in verse 6 of that same chapter, Galatians 1 and verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who has called you. And then he explains, how were they removed? When they were going after a different gospel. So, my friends, let's not go after a different gospel. Let us not go after a different teaching that man has come up with. Let us go for, find, and obey what thus says the Lord. And when we see what God has to say about it, then that will be all that we need to know, and all that we need to do is what God says. And then when we meet him in judgment one day, he will be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. That's what I want. Isn't that what you want? Well, what we need to do is to find out what he wants as we let the Bible speak.
Continue listening and calling. We've got several calls already and a text as well. That text number again is 725-9283, and the call number is 308-9564. One of the text questions we have in has a reference to the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. It specifically asks, were the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit only given to the early church, or were all of the nine, are all the nine gifts still available today? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where, of course, the gifts are listed. That's verse 29 and 30. It goes everything from apostles and prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, gifts of healing, and tongue speaking. And so those are the different gifts that are listed. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, of course, you may be aware that all three of those chapters talk about spiritual gifts. Chapter 14 talks specifically about prophecy in tongues, and chapter 13 talks about the ending of those things when the perfect comes. And I don't want to spend all of our time on talking about the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but simply make the point that the context is talking about the end of revelation, the completed or the perfected revelation. Why are tongues and prophecy and knowledge that are mentioned in chapter 13 mentioned there? It is because through those three gifts came the knowledge, the understanding, the revealing of God's mind. And so those would not be necessary when the completed will of God was made known. But also, more to the point, is as far as we look at commentary in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about when those were come to pass, the ability of one to have a spiritual gift came by the laying on of the apostles' hands. And so in Acts chapter 8, talks about that. The church began in Samaria through the preaching of Philip. When the apostles heard about that, they sent down Peter and John. And so when Peter and John came down, it says in verse 17 of Acts chapter 8, they began laying hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, this was quite obvious, because in verse 18, Simon, who previously had been baptized as well, he saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, and he offered them money because he wanted to get some of that ability and power too. Well, Peter said in response that may your silver and gold perish with you, this is in verse 20, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. That is, he didn't have part or portion in this lot, in this matter, because he was not an apostle of Jesus who had been authorized to pass on these gifts to other people. And so when the apostles, therefore, who only had that ability and they died, then that ability for others to get that gift also passed away. Therefore, they are not available in the church today. I appreciate the question. Hope that is helpful. We're coming up on a break. We will remind you of those numbers for texting, 725-9283, and for the call, 308-9564. We're so glad to have you this afternoon, and maybe you just got home and just joining in. We appreciate so much the time you have taken to listen to the Bible, as we try to give answers to Bible questions. And instead of just being a listener, we would encourage you to be a participant. If there's some question that you have on the Bible, maybe something you read today, maybe something you heard in church this morning, and you would like to have another idea of what that means, it's got your attention and got you perplexed a little bit, then please text us that question at 725-9283. Or to call us at 308-9564.
All right. We have the calls coming in. We do want you to know how much we appreciate your participation with us today. We have an anonymous caller wanting to know, how often do we take the Lord's Supper? I don't know how long you take I guess you're saying, how much does the Bible say that? Okay. And so what is it that God wants us to do? There's the answer we want. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul commands us to follow his example. And thus, if we are to do as he did, then we would be pleasing, because it is a command. In chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, he says, "Be followers of me, just as I am also of Christ." And so what we need to do is to find that example, and when we do, we will see how often we are to partake of the Lord's Supper. In Acts chapter 20, after being commanded that they were to follow his example, we find his example. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, "Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, continued his message till midnight." And so there we can see that Paul was there, and that was the purpose of them coming together. And that verse did not say first day of the year, first day of the season, first day of the month. What the verse said was first day of the week. Hey, that's the same day as today. So did you partake of the Lord's Supper today? That's what we're to do every first day of the week. And so there's your answer. Again, those verses were Philippians 3, verse 17, 1 Corinthians 11, and verse 1, and also Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Thank you for your question. We sure do appreciate it very much. If we're going to be like the Church of the Bible, then we need to be doing what the Church and the Bible did. And they came together on the first day of the week to break bread, to partake of the Lord's Supper. So thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it very much. Steve, you have a question?
Yes, I do. This is from another question on Proverbs. And this time we're in chapter 20, Proverbs chapter 20, and then verse 14. So if you can get in your Bible, if you may be already there, then we will look at that particular chapter and verse and see what we can find out. It's kind of an interesting proverb. It's like a lot of the proverbs. Each verse is its own proverb, so not much of a context here. But the verse reads, I'm reading from the New King James, "It is good for nothing, cries the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasts." Other translations say something like, "Bad, bad," says the buyer, "but when he goes his way, then he boasts." This is, I think, a commentary on how people go to flea markets and yard sales. They'll see something, and in an effort to drive the price down, they'll point out all its weak points and how it's not worth the price, and driving the price down, and then the person who's selling either feels obligated or embarrassed by the price he has on it, and so he lowers the price, maybe keeps lowering the price, till the buyer buys it. And then when he walks away, when the buyer walks away, he's going, "Oh man, did I get a great deal or what?" So that's what that verse is about. It's just the way people are, and in their boasting and in their pride. So it's pretty much that's what that verse is telling us. And so again, it talks, I guess, generally the principle is that we would not be fair with somebody. We would try to use our words against them so that we could get a better deal and not have to pay what would otherwise be considered a fair price. So kind of a dishonesty among buyers there. So hopefully that will be helpful. I appreciate so much the question. So call again at 308-9564.
Or you can text us at 725-9283. We have this text question this afternoon. They are writing to us and says, "Good afternoon. You were speaking about the apostles healing people. Isn't there a scripture that says that we should be able to do those things as well? If so, why isn't that happening more today?" Well, first of all, the apostles were those that saw the risen Lord. those that when Paul is describing his apostleship and defending his apostleship, the qualifications he gives in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in defense of him being an apostle were these. He says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen the Jesus Christ, the Lord? Are you not the work of, are you not my work in the Lord? And so part of the qualifications he gives there replicates what was given in Acts chapter 1 when they chose Matthias to replace Judas, and that is that had seen the risen Lord. And so that was seems to be a qualification for someone to be an apostle. With that being said, there's also seems to be a sign of an apostle that is referenced as well in the New Testament, talking about how that they could do what Steve just read in Acts 8 and verse 18, where that they when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, and that was miraculous power that was offered then. And so that was the ability to be able to lay hands on and give people the ability to do those miracles. And so that was Acts chapter 8 and verse 18. One other passage, we see Paul in Romans 1 and verse 11, as he wrote the brethren in Rome, he says, I desire to come to you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. And so there he would have had to have come to Rome to do that, it seems. And so there it seems that that's peculiar to an apostle. So in reference to your question, in reference to them healing people, the word miracle is what's used to describe those healings. And a miracle is something that is done that is not explainable in natural terms. And in Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 14, we see that not only did it cause wonder and amazement back in chapter 3 over the lame man that was healed, but we also see in chapter 4, as he was, as they were arrested for doing the miracle, healing this man, the enemies of Christ responded this way. And in verse 16, Acts chapter 4 and verse 16, what shall we do with these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done through them and is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So the enemies of Christ, those that would have nothing to do with God and plead, to serve God in any way, could not deny that a miracle had taken place. Now, my friends, we just do not see that going on today. The whole purpose of these miracles is explained in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And so we see there that the purpose of those signs and wonders was God confirming the word with those signs and wonders. One other verse, Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, says the same thing, that as they went forth preaching the word, God also working with them, confirming the word with signs following. That was the purpose of those miracles and signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Again, those verses are Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, Mark 16 and verse 20, and then Acts chapter 4, verse 16, shows us the meaning or the depth or the amazement of what a real miracle looks like. That was Acts chapter 4, you can read verse 14, 15, 16 right in there. Thank you so much for your question. We really appreciate that text question very much, and we are glad to receive it. This same caller asked this question, does the Bible specify what the curse on the son of Ham was? The answer to that is no. We know nothing about that. It just says that he was cursed. Thank you so much for your question whatsoever. We're glad that you called. Thank you. And again, the numbers are 308-9564, 308-WJNI, or you can text us at 725-9283. I guess it's time for our next break. We want you to know that you're listening to Let the Bible Speak. All the lines are available right now if you want to call in your question, and we will answer them on today's broadcast. Just simply call 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. We're back live now. We want you to know that we're honored to be able to have you with us today, and we hope and pray that you are finding the answers from God's Word to the questions that are on your heart. We are thrilled to be able to be in your presence, and we hope and pray that you are getting much from what God says in His Word. Thank you for participating, and we pray that you will continue to call in your questions right now at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak. Steve?
Yes, one of the callers that asked about Proverbs 20, verse 14, requests that we repeat the answer that was given about that passage, and we'd be glad to do so. We don't feel like that's an inconvenience at all, and if we can, again, that be helpful to anybody, we would be certainly want to do that. Again, the passage reads in the New King James, "It is good for nothing," cries the buyer, "but when he has gone his way, then he boasts." We also read from the New American Standard Version where it says, "Bad, bad," cries the buyer, "but when he goes his way, then he boasts." The comment was that this is a person who goes to a flea market or a yard sale or something and sees something that's priced reasonably, priced well, but they point out all the weak points, all the bad points, the minor typically, and says it's not worth it. You can get it somewhere else cheaper or whatever. And then he purchases it for that driven down price and then walks away boasting about what a good deal he got and how he was able to get the person to come down in price. So it speaks to the idea of deceit and trying to get rip somebody off, as we say. And so that's what I believe that passage is referring to, and how oftentimes people do that. I mean, that's if you've ever been to a yard sale or a flea market and listen real closely, that happens at every kind of sale. Now, some people enjoy that kind of banter, and sometimes it's a good nature. Sometimes a person puts the price higher knowing that it's going to be, that's going to happen. And that's one thing. That's pretty typical, and that's the way things go. But this passage is talking about an abuse of that, where we get something for less than what it really is worth, and then we boast about it. So appreciate you calling back and clarifying that. Others that are out there, please text or call. If you want to text, 725-9283. You want to call, 308-9564. You got something for us.
The lines are now available, so go ahead and call in your question. We have this caller calling in this question. Says, did Christ or the apostles use instrumental music in worship? That's a really good question. And when we, in my answer, I started just give a quick, concise answer, but probably there was either the condoning or fellowship of that before the church began, because there were instruments of music in temple worship before the church began. That was part of the temple worship. If people would make sacrifices, the trumpets were to blast, and there was a lot of ceremonialism associated with that on the various feasts. Matter of fact, even probably while Jesus went to the temple, that was the case. But starting with the day of Pentecost, when the law of Christ went into effect and the law of Moses was nailed to the cross after Jesus' death, that's Colossians 2, verse 14, we see that that things changed. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it's now we're supposed to give the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving praise to His name. And so, therefore, that was the mechanism, not through trumpets or through drums or cymbals or many other instruments that are referenced in the Old Testament. Now, He specified the fruit of the lips is to give praise to His name. And, of course, it's not just one verse. Then there's Ephesians 5:19, and it specifies sing. And also Colossians 3:16 specifies sing. And so being that it specifies lips, fruit of the lips, that shows us that that was just the instruments was not part of their worship in the New Testament church. I don't know of any group that practices the Lord's Supper that would take the elements that we commonly use on that table, bread and fruit of the vine, and add Coke and ice cream or even steak to the Lord's Supper. I don't know of a single church on the face of the earth that does that. Now, I wouldn't be at all surprised if there are, based upon a lot of the things I have observed. But to my knowledge, I don't know of any group that does that. And when you ask them, well, why don't y'all add steak and ice cream to the Lord's Supper? And they said, well, because God specified bread and fruit of the vine. And I would say to them, well, good answer. So when God specifies something, then that eliminates every other item. And they say, yeah. So when God specified fruit of the lips, that eliminated what other kinds of musical apparatuses? Yeah, that's right, all of them. The only ones that he specified were fruit of the lips, coming from the heart, and to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So he told us not only the mechanism, but also what we are to sing. So that's your answer. Again, those Colossians are Hebrews 13:15, Ephesians 5:19, and Colossians 3:16. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. The text line, 725-9283. Steve?
We appreciate so much your questions and your participation in this program. We have a question from Solomon, and Solomon's called a couple times before, and we appreciate, Solomon, so much your participating in the program. The two things that Solomon has here, one, he tells us that he has broken legs and has been afflicted since childhood, and now he's disabled. He wants to know, what can you give me to help me with the broken legs I have? Well, I guess there's two things that I'd like to pass on to you, Solomon. Of course, the first one is we can pray for you, and we would be honored to do that, and we'll do that even yet today. And so we're indeed wanting, desiring to do that. We know that prayer can do wonderful things. God can, who answers prayer, can certainly do what he is able to do, because he is the God of all things. I also want to encourage you by something in the Scriptures. There is a similar situation. Well, we don't know exactly how similar, but we do know that there was a man in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, who had an affliction that in his eyes felt like that it was something that prohibited him from doing all that he could do as he saw it. And so he asked God three times to take this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that is, but he asked God three times to take this away. And I want to draw your attention to 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 8, where we pick up with the reading that says, concerning this thing, that is the thorn in the flesh, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now that's interesting. Here's the Apostle Paul. You would think anybody that would have God's ear, it would be him. He prayed three times for God to take that away, and those prior times, the answer was no, because he still had the thorn in the flesh. The answer, though, that God gave him is, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, that's not that's a great part of this answer to his prayer, and it is an answer. Maybe not the answer that Paul was expecting, but it is the answer of God, and that is special. But then, also something that's special in this is Paul's response to God's answer, that is, God not taking away the thorn in the flesh. And he says, we continue reading in verse 9, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So, Solomon, I know a little bit about your history and why you are this way, and my heart goes out to you, as all the fellows here feel the same about that. And I would just encourage you that God is able to still work in your life, even though you do not have the physical ability to walk. And bear these words in mind, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And please depend upon the Lord for the rest of your days, and there will be a time when you won't have to need those legs.
Well, the number now to call us if you have a question, and we would be glad to go to the Bible for the answer, is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. We have a text caller calling in this question. They want to know, in reference to the days of the week. It says, is it wrong for Christians to use the same names for the days of the week that are the names of false gods? And they're talking about how Thursday originated from Thor's day, or Greek gods, or Monday for moon day, or Sunday for the Ra, or sun being worshipped Sunday. And he wants to know, is it wrong to use those names to refer to those days of the week, or should we use day one, day two, like the Bible references, like the first day of the week, or the seventh day of the week is the day that the Sabbath was respected in the Old Testament? And so, yeah, thank you for your question. No one has ever asked this question before, and we get excited when there's a new question. And so thank you so much for your question. That is a unique question to the program and in these many years. So the answer to your question is that the Lord knows, and the Word of God is able to discern between the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's Hebrews 4 and verse 12. And then also Psalm 139 is a big elaboration of how that God himself is able to look and see our thoughts, our intentions, and also Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14. For all our works will be brought into judgment, whether it be good or secret, that we will be judged on all these things. And many other verses show that God looks at the intents of the heart, or what comes out of the heart is what will condemn us, or what will cause us to be right in God's sight. And so with that said, the Lord knows there's probably much in our language other than the days of the week that have had its origin in pagan ritualism or pagan activities or idolatry in various forms. And we may not even be aware of those things. We can trace back the days of the week to some origins like that. But there are many things in our calendar, our Gregorian calendar. Are there many other words that we have in our vernacular that are entirely that would, if we were meaning the intent of that word as it was originally used, would be sin? But luckily, the Lord sees, he knows, he understands what our intent is. Not that if we see something is wrong, literally, and we continue to practice those things, that he won't hold us against, but he will. He will look into our hearts. If we feel something is wrong, then we should not be practicing those things. And so, but as far as using the days of the week, I don't know of anybody in the general population that literally is giving reverence to the moon on Monday, or Thor on Thursday, or even the sun, S-U-N, on Sunday. And so, and thus it's already lost all its meaning, and I do not see how the Lord would judge us wrongly about that, especially being that he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And so now those words have simply, the meaning has simply been lost through the years, and those are the names of the week that people commonly know those by. And by the way, we sure appreciate your question. But you might want to also expand that to some of the holidays that are commonly called or taught. For example, Easter or Christmas or even Halloween. And so those are yearly holidays or days that people respect and place religious connotation on, that truly the Bible does not instruct us to keep those in a religious form. And so I appreciate your spirit and wanting to show yourself approved to God and to do what God says. And thank you. You keep that up. That is a good approach to God's word. And you want to show yourself approved unto God. And God says, give diligence or study to show yourself approved unto God, to be a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly, accurately handling the word of truth. Keep it up. Good idea. Thank you so much for your question. Time for us to take our next break. We do want you to know you can continue to call in your questions right now as we let the Bible speak. The number, 308-9564. The lines are available. Hurry, go ahead and call right now. 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we want you to know that we're serious about this correspondence course, something I've failed to mention today on today's broadcast. We want you to know that if you take this Bible correspondence course, in all likelihood, you will discover things in God's Word that you have never seen before. So don't miss out on this. Please go ahead and call the operator standing by at 553-5157. That's 553-5157, and we'll send this course to you in tomorrow's mail. We only have a live attendant during this radio broadcast, so don't miss out on this. And as well as enrolling in the course, we want you to know that if you desire to host a Let the Bible Speak there in your home or in your community, if you know of a room that you can use or a place, we will make that happen. You can call the operator standing by and just ask and request that I would like to host a Let the Bible Speak in my community. We will figure out a way to get one or more of us to come and be able to answer the questions there personally, face-to-face with you and your friends. Why not do that? There's been a number of these take place. We want you to know that we will do our best anywhere in this broadcast area. If you desire to host a Let the Bible Speak session right there in your home or in your community, just call the operator standing by. Again, that number is 553-5157, and we will let the Bible speak there, face-to-face, in your home or in your community. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now. And by the way, please go ahead and enroll in the course. If you never do that first, go ahead and call. If the phone is busy, just hang up and then hit redial and you'll get through. But go ahead and enroll in that. And then call in your questions right here to us at the station at 308-9564. You can go to our website and you can text us that way if you don't have a cell phone. You can text us there at the bottom of the page at BibleAlone.com. And at the bottom of the page, you'll see a block to type your text question, and it will come to us here at the station again. And by all means, do not let the day pass without having your questions, the question that is on your heart, answered from God's Word. We will give you book, chapter, and verse. And if we don't, you would be our friend to correct us in that. Let us go to the Bible. Let us be ready to know what God expects of us before we all meet Him face to face. Go ahead and call in 308-9564. Text us, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak. Steve, you have a question?
Yes, this comes from Ben. Ben is a frequent caller, and we appreciate so much frequent callers like Ben and for the questions they ask. Ben's question here has to do with Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. And he asks, what does not be entangled mean? Well, I'm going to read the verse for us all so that all of us can listen to that verse. From Galatians 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Well, it becomes clear here that there is people he's addressing, these Christians, the churches of Galatia. Galatia was a region, an area where churches had been established. So he's telling them, these Christians, that they ought to stand fast. That is, they ought to be strong and secure in the liberty or the freedom that they have in Christ, and to not be entangled with a yoke of bondage or a yoke of slavery. So we know what the freedom in Christ is. That's when people who were made Christians by Jesus, saved from their sins, they were free. What were they free from? Well, they were free from sin, obviously, but they were also free from the old covenant, the law of Moses. And that is the reference in the latter part of the verse about not being entangled with again, that is, this yoke of bondage. If you go on and read down through Galatians chapter 5, it continues this idea in verse 2. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. So, the covenant of circumcision that was in the Old Testament really bound someone to keep the law of Moses. And Paul is saying here that if you let people convince you that you need to be circumcised in order to be saved by Jesus, then what you are doing is you are obligating yourself to keep the whole Old Testament. He says again in verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. And so this passage is encouraging people who've become Christians, have become freed from the yoke of bondage of the old covenant, not to go back under that covenant. There's an interesting cross-reference to that in Acts chapter 10, where, Acts chapter 15, where the Apostle Peter is talking to the people, some people there in Jerusalem, and then some representatives that came from the church at Antioch, particularly Paul and Barnabas, addressing this particular idea of what was their the obligation of Gentiles to the Old Testament. And it's interesting what Peter says here about the Old Testament. We're in chapter 15 and verse 10. Now, Peter's been speaking since verse 7, and he's been pleading in behalf of the Gentiles that God has not made any distinction between us and them. He's also purified their hearts by faith. Peter knows that because he was a household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and they didn't have to keep the Old Testament in order to be justified before God. So here in verse 10, Peter says, now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. So this verse that's being entangled again with the yoke of bondage is the Old Testament law that they were freed from and therefore needed no longer to keep. So, Ben, we appreciate that question, and keep those questions coming, and I hope that's been helpful to you, not only to you, but also others who may have been wondering what that was about, too. Again, to others who are out there, we encourage you to text your questions in, 725-9283, or you can call us at 308-9564, and also sign up for that Bible correspondence course. You will be blessed by it as you find things in the Word of God that maybe you've not seen before. That number is 553-1557. I guess
553-5157.
I can't read as well, I tell you.
553-5157. And the operator is standing by right now to get your name and information, and we will get that mail in the mail to you tomorrow. So don't miss out on that. That is a free correspondence course, and we will be able to send that to you even in tomorrow's mail. It is a comprehensive study to where that you get the overview of the Word of God. If you imagine you're in a plane and you fly over Charleston and Goose Creek and North Charleston in this area in a plane, 8 to 10,000 feet, you'll be able to see cars and you'll be able to see neighborhoods and bodies of water and such like that. Well, that's it, that kind of flight through the Word of God in that correspondence course. If you were to, it's an overview, you'll be able to see what it is that God wants us to make certain we don't miss. And so it's a quick run through the Word of God to be able to see what God says about what the purpose of man is and the purpose of Christ coming and how we take advantage of that. Now, there's where it is very easy for us to be misled. Many denominations today, many groups have to abide within the parameters or borders that their denomination must abide by. And so, therefore, they cannot deal with the things in God's word that would conflict with what they believe. Well, that is so sad, because when all is said and done, when we stand before God one day, there will be no one there to give us a pass for free on into heaven based upon what we were taught. Matter of fact, God makes it very clear, though we are an angel from heaven, Paul includes himself in this, and he indicts the angels, if they were to do this, the angels from heaven, if they teach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, what we've taught you, they are to be accursed. That would be like a super curse. So don't you think it would be important to find out what God says now, while we have a chance to make that right, while we have a chance to correct that? Why would we dare delay and put in jeopardy all of eternity? Eternity, my friend, is a long time. It will never stop. I think probably one of the best things, Steve, that I could ever imagine is I would love for everybody in the world to go to hell right now for 10 seconds. Because that's all it would take, 10 seconds to be able to miss the mark and to spend that much time in punishment. I mean, every single one of them would be desperately groping after what God wants and desires, because they wouldn't dare want to ever go back there again. And so what we need to do is find out the answers of how to avoid that place in the first place. And the only way we can do that is by listening to the preacher? No. The Pope? No. What Mama says? No, not even then. What we must do is listen to what God says, and the only way to do that is to search His Word. We've got to let the Bible speak. And so let's make certain that we do not miss out on following what God says, and the only way we can follow it is to find the answers in God's Word. So we're about to take a break. We want you to know the lines are available. Go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. We'll be right back. We're back live now, and we're glad to be able to be in your presence and that you have a desire to study God's Word. I just noticing how many people have already enrolled in the Bible Correspondence course today. We thank you. And we hope that you are blessed by this. Please make certain that when you get it in the mail that you study it. Look up every verse of Scripture. Find out what God says and make certain of those things, that the course is not missing a mark in any way. And look and see what God has to say, because He's the one that's going to have the final say as we meet Him one day. So I commend those of you that have already enrolled, and I pray that you will continue. Those of you that have an interest in getting this free course in the mail, maybe we just don't emphasize that enough. We actually are honored to be able to send this to you, to share with you the wealth in God's Word, because there are so many churches out there, and you think that they are just like in Las Vegas or something, pay up, pay up, pay up. Well, we want to give you the treasure that God intended for all of His creation to have. And the only way to have that treasure is to look into the treasure chest of His Word and harvest the treasure. Matthew chapter 6 talks about that, and I think that's the basis of the next question we're going to be talking about. But please, don't miss out. Go ahead and enroll in this course. Call the operator standing by. You will discover things in God's Word that you may have never seen before. So don't miss out on this. Again, that operator is standing by at 553-5157. 553-5157. If you have a computer and would just rather go online to look at it, you can find that at www.BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com, and you can enroll in the course there as well. But by all means, don't dare leave this life without knowing what God expects of you. The number 308-9564 is available for your questions. Go ahead and call right now as we let the Bible speak.
Yes, we do have a question about Matthew chapter 6. It's in verse 19 concerning laying up treasures. Verse 19 reads, Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The reference in verse 19 is, again, not to lay up treasures in heaven. The verse is not condemning the idea, and Jesus is not saying that we ought not to have things saved for a rainy day, but that our emphasis should not be upon things here. We should not be planning to lay up things for us on earth because, one, that life is not going to last, and secondly, the fragile nature of the things that we store up here. You know, they're going to break down. They're going to corrupt. They're going to get stolen. You know, if our possessions are so near and dear to us, then we have to ask the question, who owns who? Do they own us or do we own them and therefore use them in the right kind of ways that God would have us to do? Paul wrote to Timothy concerning instructions to the rich. Those who are rich ought to use what they have for others. Ephesians 4 says that we are to those who stole, those who were thieves, should no longer steal, but to labor with their hands that they might be able to share with those that they that have need. So this passage then is talking about our priorities. Where are our priorities? Are we, while we might be planning for the rainy day, I tell you what we need to be planning for, need to be planning for the hot day, need to be planning that we not be condemned for the misuse and the fascination, the possession of possessions, but that we be looking forward to heaven, that we be planning for heaven. So I hope that is helpful to you and encouraging to us to make sure that our priorities are right. Someone has said, you don't see U-Hauls following funeral processions, and that's true. But a person who has used the things that God has given them for spiritual things to help others, that person is laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the encouragement for us to do. Thank you so much for the questions. We've gotten a lot today. We're grateful for that, and for those who've signed up with the Bible Correspondence Course, reminder to those who are still listening that maybe you've got your phone in your hand and you're just waiting for that number again to text a question. It's 725-9283. And if you want to call, and that number is 308-9564, Bible Correspondence Course, 553-5157. I got them all right this time.
Oh, there you go. That's great. Again, the numbers, the voice line is 308-9564, and the text line is 725-9283. We have Promise calling in this question. What is the difference between conviction and condemnation? What is the difference between conviction and condemnation? The word conviction has to do, and it's not a word in the Bible, but it has the idea of our heart being associated with it. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, it talks about that our repentance, when it is sparked by a godly sorrow, brings forth repentance without regret. For godly sorrow worketh repentance without regret, but sorrow of the world produces death, or that godly sorrow or sorrow because of the world motivation brings forth death. And so our conviction or our sorrow, that which strikes our heart, that makes us want to change, the source of that sorrow is just as important as the sorrow. So if God is causing that sorrow, that will lead to repentance without regret. But if the world or anything in this horizontal life as we know it, other than God, is sparking that change, that repentance, then that will just end up in death. And then your question, the difference between conviction there and condemnation. Condemnation is that which God will give to those that have not repented by a godly sorrow. there's a lot of references that deal with the condemnation and the judgment of God that are associated with wrath and vengeance, those that will be sent to outer darkness, and many others that will be the punishment that God himself will dish out to those who are not in him, who do not love his appearing, those who do not obey the gospel and know the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 also talk about that. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. We appreciate your question so much, Promise. Continue to call in and continue to listen. And thank you so much for your addition today of your question. We hope that's been helpful to you. Again, the number is 308-9564. The lines are now available. Go ahead and call in your question, and we'll do our best to answer it before the end of today's broadcast. 308-9564. You have another question?
Yes, this is from Rosa. I guess it's a clarification of a passage in Proverbs. Both of those earlier were good passages for us to look at and to think about. This was in Proverbs 21 and verse 13. Proverbs 21, verse 13, and it's a good one. It says, "Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard." That passage has to do with a person who's not compassionate towards the poor, but there might come a time when situations are reversed when he might be the poor who is crying out, and he will not be heard. It's kind of the consequences of our decisions, of our choices, have a way of coming back and biting us in a inopportune time. There's a similar passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, that talks about the general disposition of a person who is not walking in the will of God, is not compassionate towards the needs of others, is not seeing himself as God's instrument of righteousness to be helpful. And there might become a time when he will want or she will want something from God and God will turn away. 1 Peter 3, it says, "Let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." In a similar passage in James chapter 2 and verse 13 about people who would show mercy or not show mercy in this case, it says, "For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." So the warning in this passage to those who are not compassionate to the poor is there may come a day that you'll not receive compassion either. But if you are compassionate, then it makes it easier for others to be compassionate to you. Thank you, Rosa, for your question and calling back and clarifying that scripture reference. Again, you got a text, 725-9283. A call, 308-9564. What you got?
Our voice line is 308-9564. I just received a call on the text line and encourage you to call our voice line, being that it was a call, and so bank certain that you do that. Here is a text question with the last three digits of 111 on the telephone number. They want to know, what is another type Bible besides King James and New King James, which is good and edifying to read? Well, there are two types of translations. There are word for word, and then there are thought for thought translations, a major delineation between the two. And I would encourage, if you want a good reading, edifying translation, there's a good one that's very popular right now called English Standard Version, or ESV. That is a good reading translation. It is very popular. You can get it in many different forms or fashions, and so that is a good translation to follow. We sure are glad to be able to furnish you with that information, and you can get that from any number of sources. But English Standard Version is a good word-for-word translation. There are some others. New American Standard is good as well. It's not as popular as the ESV right now. There are others as well, but those are two that I would recommend, New American Standard or ESV. Those are good translations. Thank you so much for your question. We been a while since anybody's asked that again. We thank you for your participation with us today as we have let the Bible speak. Again, the voice line is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. It's time for us to take our last break. So please know the operator is standing by to get your information so that you can get this correspondence course in the mail to you even in tomorrow's mail. Don't miss out on this. You very well may discover things that you've never seen before, so don't miss out on this. One more time, I want to remind our audience to be aware of that if you would like to host a Let the Bible Speak there in your home or community, please call us. I think we've got enough personnel now to where that we will make it a point to come to your home or a place that you choose and let your family and friends just sit and ask questions, and we will go to the Bible for all those answers that pertain to life and godliness, and thus we will be able to know what God says in person. Matter of fact, we'd rather do it that way than impersonal correspondence course. So don't miss out on this. And our schedules, before they fill up, please make certain that you take advantage of this. Again, that call the operator standing by at 553-5157. If you've already got that coming to you, go ahead and call now your question in here to the station at 308-9564. We'll be right back. We're back live now, and we're looking forward to your questions coming to us when we'll go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your mind. So go ahead and call in your question. We have Cynthia's question here just come in, and we'll deal with that in just a second. We thank you so much for your participation today, and we hope and pray that you will continue to join us week after week as we go to the Bible for the answers to the questions on your mind. Please note that God is the one that is answering these questions through His Word. So when we say, let the Bible speak, we're not trying to give glory to an inanimate book, but rather we are seeking to encourage people to listen to God and find out what God has to say so that we may be prepared to meet Him face to face. So thus, as we see what God says, then we are better prepared to meet Him one day. So don't miss out. Go ahead and call your question right now. We got about less than 10 minutes, so go ahead and call right now and let your question be made known, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer as we let the Bible speak. Steve?
Yeah, we have a question from Cynthia. Cynthia, we appreciate so much you listening and taking the time to call in this question. And I realize this probably takes a little bit of courage and strength to do that, to call somebody you don't know and ask a Bible question. So we really appreciate the time and effort and everything else that goes into that. Well, her question is, what are some scriptures that pertain to women teaching or leading in the church? One of the main ones is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So open your Bible to that passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and real succinctly, verse 34 says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in the church. Now, that's just, you know, a plain, simple passage that talks about that, addresses it very directly. Context is a very important thing in Bible study, so I would encourage you to go back to verse 26, for instance, and read on through verse 35. The situation of Corinth was there's a lot of confusion. Everybody getting up and has a psalm or a teaching or a tongue or revelation, etc. in verse 26. And Paul says, let all things be done for edification. So in the interest of that, he talks about regulating the tongue speaker. That is, they should only speak one at a time. Also regulating the prophets. They were to speak one at a time. That is, addressing the assembly. That's the connotation the word speak here has, as also the word silent, because the word silent and speak are used both with the tongue speaker as well as the prophet. And when it comes to the woman, well, she's to be silent. That is, she's not to be addressing the assembly. She's not to speak and address the assembly in that way. And so that's what that passage says. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I will just give you that reference. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 also has something to say about that as well. You got something, Nick, Rick?
Yes, call me anything you want to.
Okay.
All right. We have a caller calling in this question. Where do babies go when they die? Well, very good question. I don't know if we've had that exact question come in before, and we thank you for your question. Matthew chapter 18, I think we'll find the answer. Jesus was teaching, and he says in verse 1, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say unto you, unless you be converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever receives a little child like this in my name receives me. So he likens a child to a pure state, and that's what we must be converted to become, pure. Well, now, we can't do that on our own after we have sinned against God. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 brings out that God turns away from those who commit iniquity and will not hear their prayer. That's Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. But here in Matthew chapter 18, he says they are that we got to become like little children. So they've never sinned against God, and so they have never left God's presence. So when they die, they certainly die in the presence of the Lord. They've never left his presence, and thus they will continue in his good presence. Now, we are the ones that have sinned and broke our relationship with God, and we have got to arise and do what's necessary, what he's told us to do in order to correct that situation. And the way we do that, we can't pray because God will not hear their prayer. Again, that's Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. So what must we do? Well, we've got to believe in Jesus Christ, John 3:16. We've got to repent of our sins from a godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7:10. We have got to repent or all likewise perish, he says in Luke 13 and verse 3. Then we must confess that he is Lord, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, and then be baptized into Christ, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. That's where we're added to Christ. That's where the Lord adds us to his church, as recorded in Acts 2, verses 41 through 47. So that's what we must do to get back in his grace. But babies, they've never left his presence to begin with. Good question. Thank you so much. Again, the number is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Steve?
Yeah, we have a question from Nikki, and this question has to do with different translations. She asks, how can other translations be used other than King James because his word says not to add to or take away from it? Well, that's a good point. That's a good question, good thing to think about, because we wouldn't want to use a Bible that has something missing from it. And what's important to appreciate about this question and the King James itself is to ask this question. Well, what did people use before 1611? What translation did they use then? And did the King James add to or take away because it was a new translation? Well, that may be helpful to direct you. Bishop's Bible, Tyndale, Coverdale Bible, all kinds of different Bibles, and all of those have the verse in it, do not add to or take away. And so we can depend upon those just as we could on the Coverdale Bible before the King James 1611. Then you got to ask yourself, which King James?
Yes, because there's been about six different King James translations through the years or more. We have a follow-up question concerning the translations by another caller. Is the NIV Bible a good to read? Well, I use the NIV only for reading, not for study, because it is a thought-for-thought translation, more like a commentary, if anything, in some traits. And so I would not study, that is, put all my soul's destination on one word out of that translation, because that may be the wrong word in that translation. So it's not a word-for-word translation, so be weary of that. And so then there's one more text question that wants to know, can a divorced person make it to heaven? Can a divorced person make it to heaven? Well, yes, when you look at, see, in John chapter 4, there the woman at the well received salvation, And she had been married, divorced several times, and actually had been living with another man. In John chapter 4, we can see that taking place. But we've got to repent of the practice of sin, and the sin in those cases is adultery. The sin is that sexual activity that is not authorized except between a husband and wife that they are rightly married together. And so there's where the sin is being practiced. And yes, that will keep us out of heaven if we continue to practice sin. And so let's make certain that we have repented and have a heart to continue to repent. And once we're in Christ, that is, we're baptized into Christ, Romans 6:3, Galatians 3:27, let's not miss out on that because most churches do not teach that. Let's make certain that we're in Christ. And then it says, as we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. We are out of time, my friends. We thank you so much for your desire. We appreciate all of you that have enrolled in correspondence courses today. Please continue to call the operator standing by. She will be there for just a few more minutes. Don't miss out on this. Our Dial a Bible study is out of order right now. We'll hopefully get it back working this afternoon. So if you don't call right now, you're just going to get a busy signal for the rest of the day. So make certain you call the operator standing by at 553-5157. But until next week, we want to say thank you. Please continue to search the Scriptures, for in there, therein we will find the answers that pertain to life in godliness. What we must do is let the Bible speak.